Oh, long enough.
So as the BBC 30, Beeps 30 event is just sort of starting to wind up now, I'm sat outside in the foyer with Jack Mansfield.
Alex Mansfield.
Oh, sorry, Alex Mansfield. And George Auckland. What do you think about the event?
I think it's been wonderful. It's nice being able to sit here where you can hear yourself and have a good chin wag about it. It's been lovely, a nice blend of nostalgia and future hope.
That's right. I think it's been terrific. And I mean, we tried some years ago to do a 25th anniversary, which in some ways is slightly more relevant, but for a whole load of reasons, it fell through. And although there was an event done at the Science Museum, this, what I've seen and been involved in today, is a lot more like the one we would like to have done. And I was saying to one of the organisers earlier that the way the day was structured, you know, with a talk and then a bit of music and then a coffee break and then that and the other, made a really nice touch and in fact emulates, you know, probably some of the most famous conferences in the world, the TED conference.
Right, yes.
And those who are fortunate either enough to go to the TED conference for $5,000 or see it online see something which, you know, is both intense and relaxed because of the way they modulate the, you know, the event of the day. And there's been an element of that today. And, you know, really light touches that he liked. Let's have a birthday cake and let's sing happy birthday to the BBC Micro. You know, which is kind of completely wacky. I mean,
and then Steve Ferber playing bass with one of the...
I missed that. I think I must have been in the talk. I mean, you know, I saw a video last year and I actually saw the whole of an American town sing happy birthday to a 110-year-old light bulb that had burnt in a fire station non-stop. And when you watch it, it's both completely mad and very charming at the same time. And
I think that's
what you want with these things, is a certain kind of madness and charm. And I think this event today has had a lot of that, hasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Jack, Alex, do you think that there's a danger here, though, that people are latching onto the past, you know, too much nostalgia with an event like this? Or
I was worried that might be the case. But, I mean, 30th is an amazing machine. But, I mean, the geography of the event, sat here in a company that really does bestride the globe like a mighty colossus, that has such a direct lineage to such a humble thing as a little machine developed to support a set of computer programs and possibly go in the corner of a few schools. The geography just points out it's a thing worth being nostalgic about. But it was also worthy of note that this morning session, which, you know, had
the panel discussion
with the micro men themselves all sat along there. It was obviously designed to be nostalgic, and yet all of them, but you could tell so clearly, they cared enough at the time.
Yes.
They still care now.
Yes.
And they wouldn't talk about what was going on in the 30 years ago because everyone's so bothered about the state of the nation at the moment in terms of computer literacy. And so, I mean, that says it all. I don't think it was wallowing in nostalgia at all. I think it was quite uppity about what the hell's going on now.
Now, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball, Jack. Alex and George, what do you think the future holds? At a 40th or at a 30th anniversary of the Raspberry Pi? What do you think we'll be talking about? What will we be reflecting back on? What will the future look like?
It's difficult to imagine that there would be a single device that you could focus on so much as the BBC Micro, because the world has changed massively in those 30 years. So I think it's going to be, you know, Raspberry Pi and any number of other things that come along and will be better, just as in the way loads of things have come along and been better than the BBC Micro. But the BBC Micro happened at an extraordinary moment in time where sufficient people realised that there was a really major singular problem and that they could address it. And the BBC was in a position where it could address it as well. Well, you know,
I wonder though if we used the BBC Micro as the thing that sums up the period of time. And there was the TV programmes, there was the magazines, there was other computers, but we sort of latched onto the BBC as the hero of the time.
There were other computers, but there wasn't a single computer that the BBC could use to unify its message, to generalise some basic 101 lessons about what the hell these microcomputers were. And that's why the BBC was developed. We all know that story very well. But it was also, there was this fear about microcomputing and what was going on. The Germans were calling the microcomputer the job killer.